On this episode of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, we discuss the release of the Leapfrog Group survey report about the ASC industry and an article that USA Today wrote in response to the report. And we review the September 2019 United States Department of Health and Human Services OIG report on Medicare's oversight of ambulatory surgery centers.
Welcome to the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, a podcast for anyone interested in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry. This episode is sponsored by Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. The ASC regulatory environment is increasingly challenging, but organizations that outsource their regulatory oversight to Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies have an edge. AHS works with ASCs to oversee their quality improvement, risk management, emergency and infection control programs, run their meetings, develop education programs, and always be prepared for surveys.
Welcome to episode 71 of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey for October 28th, 2019. Recording from Virginia Beach, Virginia, and our studio in Spencerport, New York. This is Sue Cronkite, Senior Nurse Consultant with AHS, and I'm here with John Gailey, the owner of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies and one of the leading experts in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry, and the author and co-author of over 10 books about the ASC industry, including the Survey Guide for ASCs. John speaks frequently at both national and state ASC meetings on a wide variety of topics. And we're just back from vacation.
Why did you put air quotes around vacation?
It was quite a working vacation.
It was. Right? We had a lot of fun. Virginia Beach is nice. Mm-hmm. It's the first time that we've been there together, and we had a lot of fun down there. But the weather wasn't great the whole time, mm-hmm. so we did do a bunch of things. And then we had to cut our trip a little bit short, 12 hours short, because one of our clients had a survey on Thursday and Friday of the week. We were supposed to go back mm-hmm. Friday morning, and we were heading back Thursday afternoon and swung by our client on the way home. So that's the nice thing, is that that's what we do for our clients. We want to be there for them when they're going through those surveys. So,
and that was pretty unexpected. It was a pretty early survey.
Yeah, that was what was kind of interesting. I think we know that surveyors are supposed to give you about a 6-month time frame during which you might have a survey. And most of the time, to be honest, over the last couple of years, they show up in the last month, maybe 2 months beforehand. But this was a full 3 months before the expiration mm-hmm. of their accreditation. So this was a bit of a surprise. We thought we had a little bit more time. I mean, they were well prepared for it, and the survey went very well. But I think that none of us were really expecting them to show up that early. So I did want to remind our listeners to become a patron member of the podcast by going to the ASCpodcast.com website and clicking on the link in the upper right-hand side of the page where our beautiful picture, the two of us, is located. Members get access to special content. They can download policies and forms. They get special member discounts on books. They get access through a special section to talk to the hosts and each other, other members. They also get free access to AEUs every quarter if you are CAS certified. So you get between one, probably three AEU credits each quarter, depending upon, you know, what material we do during the quarter. We did one AEU for the third quarter, but the fourth quarter, it looks to be between three and four AEUs. We won't know until we finish the quarter there. Mm-hmm. So again, if you want to become a patron member, it's as little as $10 a month. Go to the ASCpodcast.com website and click on the link.
So while we were on vacation, Leapfrog issued their report.
A preliminary report, yes. Correct. And we were quite concerned with it. We had just done an interview with Missy Danforth from Leapfrog, where we were talking about the survey that the Leapfrog group was doing. And we were quite optimistic based upon that interview and our discussions with Leapfrog over the last year that the report would help us to demonstrate the quality of care that, you know, surgery centers are known for providing. Mm-hmm. And we were actually quite disappointed at how the report was worded. Not the results from the report, because the report pretty much, you know, showed that we're providing high quality of care. But we were concerned about some of the words that were in the report and some of the things that were said said during a press conference about the report. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our friends over at USA Today, and I use the USA Today friends kind of sarcastically, they seem to have twisted the outcomes to try to make ASCs seem bad. Now, unfortunately, those of you who listen to the podcast on a regular basis know that USA Today, for whatever reason, is not really taken very favorably to the ASC industry. They seem to be, you know, always, or at least in two articles over the last 18 months, taken a very unfavorable view of the activities of the ASC industry. So indeed, they took the words that came out of the LeapFrog report, and I think they've kind of twisted it around. So, Sue, you and I were very passionate about what we do here, and myself in particular, I was kind of upset about it. So we actually recorded a special episode while we were there, and then I told you afterwards that I had some second thoughts about the veracity of what I said. So I, after calming down a bit, you know, I kind of decided not to put out a special episode because really, we didn't want to put any more credence on this report than it really was due.
We're putting the content into this episode. So, so you will hear our comments and kind of a general rundown on it, but we didn't feel it warranted a special episode.
That's right. And of course, in retrospect now, that was about a week ago, really the article didn't gain any traction, as is the case, unfortunately, with the writers of this. It was poorly worded. It's funny. I think I told you, Sue, I cut and pasted it into a Word document, and there were all these spelling errors, you know, and errors with the grammar in it, which seems to be the problem with those articles written by these people at USA Today. So again, it didn't gain any traction, really. I don't think anybody has probably heard anything of it beyond comments that the industry leaders have made about it. And the ASC Association, as you'll hear in the section that we're going to attach to this opening area here, you know, had some comments about it too. So I should also point that when we recorded this in Virginia Beach, we had all kinds of problems. So we had a two-bedroom condo, and if anybody that knows Virginia Beach knows it's near a Navy base, and airplanes, jets were flying over the whole time. So I'm not sure how good the quality of the recording was compared to what you're listening to here. And by the way, how do you like the new setup that I have here?
It's very nice.
It's very.
I know you love buying your techie stuff.
I do.
So we have another setup for the microphones. When I was editing that section that we did there, I did a couple times hear jets going over, but it really didn't get in the way. So
that's good.
You will hear that roaring in the background.
They weren't in the room, and we weren't recording it outside. But we've been noticing with the some of the quality of the recordings that we're getting some vibrations in our new studios. I installed some new shock absorbers on the microphone, so I notice it's a lot cleaner here. I'm very picky about sound. I'm an old sound engineer from my high school days, so I take very seriously this, and I will also take the blame for most of the problems that we've had with that. So let's listen to what we recorded while we were in Virginia Beach, and we'll come back and conclude this section.
So we're still on vacation here in Virginia Beach. We just recorded the last episode.
It was just 2 days ago that we did that. And here we are on Tuesday. And this has turned out to be kind of a strange vacation. So as we're sitting here in our makeshift studio in the second bedroom of our condo, we have jets going over constantly. It's almost like a war has started outside.
I know. Did we miss something, people? Please let us know.
Please let us know if something's going on.
We must be right near a military base or something. They're quite loud because, as you said, they're jets.
Yeah.
So we apologize if you hear a lot of roaring in the background.
And then this morning we woke up and we had to go out early this morning. And as we're going out, the fire alarm goes off. And now, Sue, you actually reacted a lot stranger to this than I did. And I'm the life safety guy. So
I know. Well, it really bothered me because we walked out. We don't really see other people coming out of the condos. And one other woman came out and said, "Is that the fire alarm?" And we went downstairs. You know, somebody was mopping the floor. And I thought, okay, that's great. We're all going to slip and kill ourselves on the way out. But the alarm was not going off downstairs. There was, you know, nobody else was coming out. Nobody walked over and said, "Hey, go outside here," or whatever. So, but there were fire trucks coming.
Right. Big hook and ladder.
Yep.
Yeah. It was interesting to see the response, but we literally were the only people.
Yeah. Other than that one other woman.
One other woman that left the building. Nobody from the company, from the hotel.
Yeah. And three fire trucks, and they were coming in saying there was a room filled with smoke. And I just thought, it was a little bit alarming. I did ask when we came back in. I said, "You know, did you know there was a fire alarm earlier?" And the second shift staff didn't even know.
Yeah.
But they did say something about it. Only select floors will go off. But It wasn't very comforting.
No, it wasn't. I didn't like the way that they weren't responding mm-hmm. to this. I mean, this is, again, you know, any fire, well, obviously it wasn't, there goes another jet. Yes. any fire, hopefully they can't hear it in these special microphones we have here. But, you know, any time that you have a fire or mm-hmm. a fire alarm, you know, you should take it seriously and you should take it as though, I mean, I just can't fathom why, even though it was going off on one floor, you're not really notifying everybody, mm-hmm. maybe not evacuating, but at least telling us what's going on.
Yeah,
you know, no announcements at all.
And as you said, that because one of the things that I thought about is making sure that, you know, in our centers and all of that, make sure that the people that are at your desk, you know, the reception area, people know what to do as well, not just evacuating the patients and everything, but what to tell the family members if you ever had something go on. So, you know, include that in your drills, thinking it all the way through, because it was weird to walk out and just see nothing.
Right.
You know, nobody's there saying, you know, step outside, wait out here. So.
Well, and the concern I have about things like this, too, is that when, you know, it almost gets you to, you know, stop paying attention to things like fire alarms. Mm-hmm. Like if, you know, the people that might have gone through this and nothing was ever said, the fire alarm goes off and they, you know, the next time it happens, they're not going to take it seriously. Yeah. And that's a danger to all of us, that what happens when a real fire occurs, if mm-hmm. you just always assume it's just a drill or that it is something minor. I mean, there's no way that we on that floor could differentiate between a real fire mm-hmm. and, you know, one that was apparently just smoke in one of the floors. So I think you always have to respond to every alarm until you know better, you know, as though it's the real thing or it's really important. So I thought that was an interesting learning experience. And but it was amazing to me that there were only three of us in this entire, you know, condo hotel complex here. So I don't know. Well, the main reason we're here is because while we were out today, both of our cell phones buzzed and dinged and all the funny things that happen. And we got wind that, you know, the USA Today, again, published another article about the ASC industry. Mm-hmm. And as is the case with virtually all the articles from the USA Today about the industry, it wasn't great. That article was based upon the LeapFrog report, the preliminary report that came out from LeapFrog. And those of you who have been listening to us know that we just interviewed a couple episodes ago Missy Danforth from the LeapFrog group, who was talking about the survey that they were doing about the ASC industry. And apparently some of the first results just came out. I didn't know they were going to come out that early.
No, they did. So we do have that preliminary report that we looked through, and we also read through Bill Prentice's
responses.
Yeah. So we'll give you that. John just wanted to give you a little rundown first of USA Today article.
It wasn't very well balanced again. Yeah. And the other thing that always bothers me as a writer, it always bothers me when there are typographical errors in the article, because we copied and pasted into a Word document for all the errors just showed up there. And, you know, it's just unbelievable to me that, first of all, an article would be published in USA Today that had this many errors in it, let alone the spin that they put on things. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that. Let's just kind of hit the highlights of it. So basically, the USA article today talked about the LeapFrog report, took the report and used it as a basis to expound on two previous articles that USA Today did, which were all, you know, quite inflammatory against the industry and which, quite frankly, never turned into anything. And by the way, even this article, because this is what we do, you know, we have a special flag set up so that as soon as an article about the ASC industry comes out, it dings on our cell phones. This article was difficult to find once we searched it on the internet because it didn't show up right away. So I'm not sure how widely distributed this article is going to be. I don't know if there's going to be any response, but I think it's important for the industry, for all of you out there to know what's going on, because I'm sure not everybody knows and respond appropriately or at least be prepared. We're always we're always concerned that patients are going to walk in and say, "Hey, did you see this article in the USA Today? You know, what do you have to say about it?" Because you know you want to have a good response to it. So,
and I think going directly to the LeapFrog website, and they have a link right there to the report. Yeah. You can read a condensed version or the full report, and that's really the information that it's important to have. And then we'll give you some.
That's a good point, Sue, because the LeapFrog report is not nearly as inflammatory as the article in USA Today. So basically, let's remind everybody who didn't listen to the previous episode, which is episode 69, where we interviewed Missy Danforth from the LeapFrog group. The LeapFrog group is a nonprofit organization that is out there to do, you know, research into hospitals and now surgery centers. And they do this by surveying surgery centers and hospitals and ask various questions. And based upon those, the answers to those questions, they put together a summary mm-hmm. report and compare hospitals against surgery centers. And this particular report looked at about 1,500 centers. Now, keep in mind, this is very important. 1,141 of those centers were hospital outpatient surgery departments. Very different, of course, than a freestanding mm-hmm. ambulatory surgery
center. And they compare and contrast a little bit, too.
Right. And only 321 of them were ambulatory surgery centers. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that we also should point out, and we talked about this a little bit during that episode 69 with Missy, is that not a lot of response, you know, from the ambulatory surgery mm-hmm. industry. You know, there's, you know, 5,700 yes. ambulatory surgery centers about, and only 321 of them were involved. Mm-hmm. And those surgery centers were probably going to be, you know, because this report or this survey is difficult to complete. It's not something that can be easily done. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that they were totally representative of the industry. So that's something we should always be careful of. So LeapFrog just published this, what they call an inaugural report. And, you know, they did say in the report that it didn't include infection rates or other measures of how a patient fared after getting treatment in these centers, nor did it include in statistics on individual centers. So there isn't a lot of detail at this point. Mm-hmm. So what was disturbing is that Leah Binder, the CEO of LeapFrog Group, made a statement in the reports that says, virtually nothing is known in a systematic way about the safety of these centers. When you go under the knife, you want the reassurance of an independent report on their safety. That's why we did it. I think that's a very unfair statement. And it's basically saying just because we've never been surveyed in the past or, you know, by the LeapFrog Group, that we're a dangerous place to go. And that is certainly not the case. There's certainly a lot of other evidence out there mm-hmm. about the quality that we provide. And all you have to do is, and that's also not fair that there isn't a lot of mm-hmm. information about our industry. There is, you know, Medicare quality reporting. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's millions of data points, you know, for that. Yeah. We have a lot of information. We have a lot of information, but nobody's bothered to ask us before.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that Missy was saying is that they're just trying to gather that information, and
right.
I didn't get the feeling that she thought it would not be good information.
Missy did a wonderful interview. She really is very optimistic.
Yep. And just gather that information and be able to put it out there. And as you said, they're publishing this as not specific to each center,
right?
But going forward, it will be available to the public.
To be able to care individual centers, yeah.
Yep, and a lot of that can be very good news.
Well, we're still optimistic about it, but let's talk about a couple other things. So, you know, one thing that came out was they indicated based upon their research that in surgery centers, 89% of the centers that provided services to pediatric patients, there was employees that had PALS or pediatric advanced life support. That's 89% compared to hospitals, which had 96%. Now, you know, certainly a bit of a difference there, but that's mm-hmm. still a very large percentage. And keep in mind that CMS and the states generally do not require advanced PALS or advanced ACLS. But if you're an accredited organization such as HHHC or Joint Commission, you are going to have ACLS support. So again, I'm actually quite surprised at that statistic because certainly I don't know of any centers myself, you know, that don't have PALS or ACLS depending upon what type of a patient they take care of. So if that number's true, I'm concerned about it. The next area that they talked about was an area of hand hygiene and the use of antibiotics. They said that less than 1 in 5 physician-owned centers participating in the survey adopted antimicrobial stewardship programs, which promote the appropriate use of antimicrobials and antibiotics. And that is not the only way that you can determine whether proper methodologies are employed. We have very strong infection control programs mm-hmm. in the ambulatory surgery industry, especially after 2008 when we adopted the new infection control standards. So to say that we're not doing a good job in the infection control area, especially in hand hygiene, and again, I would really like to see a statistics of hand hygiene compliance in hospitals versus surgery centers, which was not a part of this survey. And then, you know, one of the other statements that Leah Binder made was, we know almost nothing about safety or quality. We are concerned that same-day surgery providers are not following basic safety steps. We are trying to figure out what's going on in the Wild West. That is a highly, that's really an insulting comment there. And I was very disappointed to hear that from her because certainly nobody that knows the ASC industry would ever compare us to the Wild West and are not following basic safety steps. Come on. I mean, you can't get a Medicare license without having a significant program in place. And again, a vast majority of our organizations has some form of accreditation also. So, Sue, why don't you go a little bit into what was actually in the LeapFrog report?
So they mentioned gaps in education, that not all providers were board certified, but...
So they were commenting here that they were kind of surprised that not all providers in a surgery center were board certified. Now, they use the term board certified as opposed to board eligible and board certified, which, of course, we all know, are somewhat interchangeable. You know, obviously, you want everybody to be board certified, but until they get to a certain level, they're not going to be board certified. And it was interesting that Lee Fleischer, the chair of the Department of Anesthesia and Critical Care at Penn Medicine in Philadelphia and chair of LeapFrog's expert panel on surgery centers, said during the press briefing that surrounded this, others might not have taken the recertification exam because they work in an ASC, not a hospital, and they don't need hospital recertification. Or this could be because the staff are board eligible but not certified yet.
And referring back to ASC is lagging behind HOPDs in implementing best practices, they stated that few ASCs have hand hygiene monitoring. Now, ASCA's response, and I'll quote, in the area of adoption of monitoring and feedback hand hygiene practices, more ASCs, 75%, than HOPDs at 66%, have a system in place for initial and recurrent training and validation. And I know there's so much monitoring and surveillance that I've witnessed, at least at ASCs.
And it's required. It's pretty common. Yeah, I mean, if you want to keep your CMS license, you certainly are going to have to do this. And that's why we have very strong processes in place for not only identifying infections, following up on infections, but doing surveillance and also doing training, ongoing training. So, again, that's just flatly wrong.
Mm-hmm. Now, a good thing, they said that patients rate ASC experiences higher than HOPDs. They recommend that more ASCs track this. However, they're talking about the OAS CAPS survey not being administered all the time, but many have patient satisfaction surveys, which
Correct.
Is also tracking.
So let's talk about that for a second, because OAS CAPS is not required yet, and the industry is fighting against it, not because we don't want or don't believe in the importance of talking to our patients after the procedure. It's just that the OAS CAPS program, which has been very, very difficult for hospitals and has resulted in some actions in hospitals that are not really best for patient care because of the complexities of that program. There's been this backlash against it because there'd be 39 some odd questions that a patient would be asked after surgery. Not many patients are going to put up with, you know, going through 39 questions after a surgical event in order to complete this CAPS survey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a much simpler process. You know, usually our surgery centers might ask between 5 and 10 questions of a patient, and they'll ask it in, you know, an anonymous way still. And then the results of those surveys come back and are generally very well received. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling, and we all know, that if you're going to ask 39 questions, the only people that are going to wade through 39 questions are going to be those that really have a bone to pick, that are very upset about something that happened.
Yeah, so it would be very skewed results for
That's
sure.
That's right. And so this is important to understand, is that the LeapFrog group requires anybody that participates in that survey to participate in OAS CAPS, which is very difficult and very costly for a surgery center to do that. I think the average cost to do OAS CAPS is somewhere around $3,000 to $5,000. And you don't get as good results from it, quite frankly. I mean, you have a lot of information, but because of the small sample size compared to what, you know, generally we try to get out of a surgery center, it's not going to be the best information. So I think that's unfair, really, for LeapFrog to jump to that conclusion, though they do conclude that we have a higher satisfaction rate. But I think what they're trying to imply here is that you still need to do better. You know, I think this is a classic example of, you know, good information being turned against the industry simply because somebody has, you know, an agenda, an outside agenda. And that, of course, is USA Today. I don't think LeapFrog itself is doing that. But, you know, USA Today, they have unfortunately shown a propensity to really be against the ASC industry by coming up with these articles that are very anti-industry, which are really, in many cases, just factually incorrect.
But if I can quote Leah Binder's final quote
and this is important because Leah, in the end, did make a quote that was favorable. Yeah. Go ahead, Sue.
Said, all told, our hope is that the information in this report will be a first step to enlighten healthcare purchasers, payers, and patients about the safety and quality of same-day surgery. We commend participating facilities for their commitment to transparency by participating in these inaugural surveys and look to all ASCs and HOPDs to follow their colleagues' leadership. So I thought that was a very positive comment. She's just
too bad
looking
she didn't
for
lead
ways.
With that.
Yes, but again, I think maybe particular magazine.
Right.
Might have skewed it a little bit, but you know, I think it's going to all be good information, but I know Bill Prentice had some concerns.
Yeah, so Bill's final response here is ASCA supports quality transparency and will continue to work with any responsible organization looking to produce information and resources that help patients and payers identify safe healthcare providers and settings. He is the chief executive officer of ASCA, obviously. However, I am greatly disturbed by comments made by the Leapfrog Group staff to the media that show a willingness to denigrate ASCs in contradiction to the results of their own survey. Absolutely true. This results in a bias that we will need to consider when members ask about participating in this project in the future. So I think Bill makes a very good point there, is that, you know, perhaps this Leapfrog Group survey, which we've encouraged even on this podcast, might not be the best avenue to get our information, if that information is going to be skewed against us, or if it's, you know, it's going to be used inaccurately. I mean, that's what's really sad here, is that the survey information itself actually has a lot of very positive comments, but all that that was brought out in the report, that was emphasized in the report, and then all that came out in the media response to it from USA Today was negative, and that's certainly not the intention. And there are so many other vehicles. I mean, if Leapfrog isn't going to use its own survey, you know, gather information in an appropriate way and use its own survey in order to, you know, come up with the conclusion that the survey itself points to, then that's probably not the right type of venue for us to use in the future to get our information out to the public. So there's many other ways, including the, you know, the Medicare Quality Reporting Program, ASCA's own program. We hope when some point we'll be able to make public. All of that information is available and very useful to demonstrate the quality of care that ASCs generate. Yeah.
And you can go to the Leapfrog website. You can go to ASCA,
right,
on their website and look more into it.
The Leapfrog website is leapfrog.org, and the ASCA website is ascassociation.org for more information. We'll try to put some links on the website. We're going to try to get this episode up pretty quickly, so I'm not sure how quickly I'll be able to get things on our website. But do look through this information. Be ready and responsive to any questions that patients might have. I honestly don't think that this is going to generate a lot of publicity. It generally hasn't in the past.
Yeah. And I think, you know, some of the information might be good information for us.
Right.
So I don't want to totally disregard all of this, but
they
just need to have a more balanced look at it.
Right. And think very carefully before you participate in a survey, such as Leapfrog, any other survey out there, you know, to make sure you understand what the goals of those surveys are. You know, before you spend the time to participate in something like this, you want to make sure that that is going to be a fair survey, that they're going to use the information in the proper way and not be used against you. So be very careful in the future. And we'll keep you informed about what's going on with this as we get more information. So we're back from our quick little trip on the podcast to Virginia Beach. We're back here in Rochester, specifically in Spencerport on Sunday night. Let's take a short break, and I thought it might be good to talk during this podcast about a recent report that came out from the OIG regarding Medicare oversight of ASCs. There's a lot of very interesting information. So let's take a short break. We'll come back to talk about it.
So, John, you wanted to talk about a report that came out from OIG in September, some points that you found interesting.
Yeah, so on a periodic basis, the Office of the Inspector General, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, looks into various issues. And one of the issues that they've studied recently, and they just came up with a report in September, is what's going on with regard to the oversight of ambulatory surgery centers that are not deemed status. In other words, that don't have an accrediting organization perform their Medicare recertification.
They know this deemed, non-deemed status, it confuses a lot of people.
It does. So in order to maintain your Medicare certification, you have to subject yourselves periodically to a survey. And there's two ways you can do that. One, you can just let yourself be surveyed by your state on a periodic basis, and that's totally unannounced. So you don't know when they're going to come in, you know, over a 3 to 6 year period. Or you can choose to have a Medicare deemed status survey, which means that you hire a accrediting organization that has been approved by CMS to do a survey in lieu of CMS doing that. Examples of the accrediting organizations that do these deemed status surveys are, of course, QuadASF, AAHC, Joint Commission, et cetera. So, you know, we've talked quite a bit about the accrediting organizations and what they do from a deemed status, but we don't always talk about what the states do when they're doing these Medicare oversight surveys. And there's been issues in the past that CMS has had with the states that are performing these surveys because, as we'll talk about in a few minutes here, those surveys are not always done on a timely basis.
So this only is focusing on the non-deemed status and what correct. The state does, not what any of these other organizations do.
That's exactly correct. Okay. So we're only looking at organizations that have chosen not to have a deemed status survey. So first of all, why did they do the study? Well, ambulatory surgery centers often perform complex medical procedures, including invasive procedures under general anesthesia. And by the way, I'm reading some of this. I'm reading directly from the summary of the report. So OIG examined how Medicare ensures that ASCs meet minimum health and safety requirements through its state survey process. Now, as we've noted, most ASCs, known as non-deemed ASCs, undergo a state agency survey to demonstrate that they meet this requirement. So even though we talk quite a bit about deemed status surveys, more organizations choose not to do deemed status than choose to be deemed. And part of that is because you have to pay for a deemed status survey. So you're going to pay sometimes a substantial amount of money for it, whereas when the state is doing it, there's generally no fee for that.
Is there any difference in the requirements to meet deemed or non-deemed status?
No, not at all. Of course, the approach that the accrediting organizations have is different than the state has. Mm-hmm. As we've talked about before, most of the accrediting organizations have a much more consultative approach, whereas the states, let's face it, you know, they're there because they're doing something that's required, you know, by the government here. So they don't particularly have an incentive to be consultative in there. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're doing a deemed status survey, you're hiring somebody, you're paying somebody to come in and do that survey. And, you know, as a result of that, you're expecting something more than you would get from the state. And that usually is some form of consultation or some assistance in not only identifying what's wrong, but maybe, you know, some suggestions on how to improve on what's going on. In addition to conducting regular surveys of non-deemed ASC, states also conduct investigations of complaints that allege poor care or other problems in both deemed and non-deemed ASCs. Now, we also know that Medicare beneficiaries are increasingly using ASCs for outpatient surgical services, and in fact, Medicare payments to ASCs increased from $3.4 billion in 2011 to $4.6 billion in 2017. So over a six-year period, it increased, you know, about a third, about 33%. So this isn't the first time that the OIG has looked into this. They last looked into it in 2002, which is about 17 years ago, when they found that nearly a third of non-deemed ASCs had gone five or more years without a survey. And since that time, a lot of things have happened in the industry, including outbreaks of healthcare-associated infections, which have raised concerns about the patient health and the safety of ASCs, which we've talked about a lot over the years that we've been doing this podcast, and which has been a concern that we think that the ASCs have addressed very well. And of course, Medicare regulations have really become a lot stricter in those 17 years since that first report was done. So how did OIG do the study? So they analyzed data provided by the Medicare program, basically state data on ASC certification surveys for non-deemed ASCs. And they also looked at the complaints about deemed and non-deemed ASCs for fiscal years from 2013 to 2017. And then using this data, they assessed the state survey performance against Medicare's requirements and analyzed trends in deficiency citations from state surveys and trends in complaint surveys. So what did they find? They noted that states largely met Medicare's requirements, and Medicare requires states to survey 25% of non-deemed ASCs during a year. And then they also are requiring them to have surveyed all ASCs within the state during the prior 6 years. So there's two requirements. Again, the first requirement is that every year they survey about 25% of the non-deemed ASCs, and over a six-year period, they have surveyed all of the ASCs. And here's the trends in the deficiencies. So states cited 77% of non-deemed ASCs with at least one deficiency in their most recent survey. And then one quarter of those ASCs that were surveyed had serious deficiencies, which they didn't say this in there, but I would assume that would be condition level type deficiencies. And then between 2013 and 2017, infection control deficiencies were by far the most frequently cited category of deficiency, making up about a fifth of all the deficiencies that were noted. In terms of trends in the complaints from 2013 to 2017, states received complaints for fewer than 4% of ASCs each year. So that's pretty good. So less than 4% of the ASCs had a complaint in each year. Unfortunately, the share of those complaints that required an on-site survey more than tripled. So then we get into what their conclusions were. They concluded that CMS has made progress in strengthening the oversight of ASCs and addressing vulnerabilities that OIG has previously identified, but they indicated that more can be done. Now, interesting, Sue, when we compare what we talked about in the first part of this podcast to what we just saw, that's why I wanted to put these two things together in one podcast, is that whereas the Leapfrog report says you need more oversight, what OIG is saying, hey, there has been more oversight, and then the complaints are not that high. And, you know, obviously the surveys are being done generally according to the requirements that CMS has set. Now, we're going to talk about some specific states and some of those states that have some issues. So just a couple other notes that came out of the report. They noted that the six-year time span allows ambulatory surgery centers the potential to transition in and out of compliance, or worse, remain out of compliance for substantial amounts of time. So what they're saying is that if you're non-deemed and the state really takes a full 6 years to survey each of those centers, mm-hmm. that provides a lot of time for that surgery center to be out of compliance or not even to think about it, you know, between surveys, which is mm-hmm. true. And of course, our whole theme of both the podcast and our company is the importance of, you know, maintaining constant vigilance here yeah. and making sure that you're always survey ready. So I think that's a fair comment, but I think in general we know that organizations that are really want to be on top of things, that really want to, you know, do a good job, that want to have good quality care and demonstrate that on an ongoing basis are not going to wait 6 years before they get themselves back into compliance. Mm-hmm. So the results of this new analysis that OIG did can support CMS in further strengthening its oversight, particularly in the few states that are falling short of meeting its requirements. And it can also help CMS focus on ASC's recurring challenges in meeting health and safety requirements, especially in the area of infection control. So what they're really saying here is that we recognize, or they recognized, based upon the OIG study here, that infection control is one of those areas that they still have a lot that they could do, and that that should be a primary focus. And I guess without saying it so much, they're saying that infection control is one of those things that is so critical to an organization, you don't want to wait 6 years to make sure that that organization has been in compliance. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to attach a copy of this survey to our information on the website at ascpodcast.com so that you can actually read it yourself. But I did want to point a couple things out by states. So again, I want to remind everybody, the CMS requires two things. 25% of non-deemed ASCs must be surveyed by the state each year, and all surgery centers must be surveyed at least every 6 years. Now, of course, that differs quite dramatically from a deemed status survey. Now, of course, you don't know when they're going to show up in that six-year period, whereas if you're doing a deemed status survey, you kind of know between a 3 and a 6 month time frame when surveyors are going to show up, so you can be a little bit better prepared for it. So let's just mention a couple states here. So there were a number of states that had a very low percentage of meeting that, what they call the tier two requirement, which is that 25% of the surgery centers are surveyed each year. And I'll start in alphabetical order. California was one of them. So they were only doing 18% during fiscal year 2017 of the total surgery center. So again, they didn't meet the 25% requirement. Colorado was the next one in alphabetical order. They only 12 of the ASCs were surveyed of the 85, and they only made 14%. Hawaii kind of had the worst number, is they didn't survey any surgery centers in 2017 of the 14 in the state, which meant that they had a 0% percentage. Again, in alphabetical order, Nevada was next. It was 9%. Only 4 of the 44 surgery centers in the state were surveyed. New Jersey had a very low percentage also, 8%. Only 12 of the 145 surgery centers were surveyed. New York, our home state here, only 17%. Or 7 of the 41 non-deemed were surveyed during 2017. Rhode Island, which has 7 surgery centers, only 1 was surveyed during that year, which I guess averaged out. It says 0%, but I don't think that's what it meant. And Wisconsin was the last one that didn't meet the 25% threshold, with 14%, 4 of the 28 centers were surveyed during that year. So that's what they call the CMS Tier 2 requirement, that 25% of the surgery centers in the state are surveyed each year. So the Tier 3 requirement is that over a six-year period, all of the surgery centers that are non-deemed are surveyed. So that's a much, obviously, a much more important statistic, I would think. And fortunately, there was a much higher level of compliance. So again, in alphabetical order, Hawaii, 64% of the surgery centers. So that's not so good. So 9 of the 14 had been surveyed during that six-year period, which I guess means, if I do my math here, 5 were not. So in Nevada, just like in the Tier 2 requirement, the Tier 3 requirement they did not meet, only 48% of the surgery centers were surveyed over a six-year period. New Jersey also did not meet that requirement, both for Tier 2 and Tier 3, but they did have a higher compliance rate. 85% of the surgery centers, or 123 of the 145, were surveyed over the six-year period. And then North Carolina, while it meet the Tier 2 requirement, did not meet the Tier 3 requirement. Only 72% of the surgery centers were surveyed over a six-year period. That's it for the state conclusions. So again, if we didn't mention your state, then your state is in compliance. So I think the big takeaways here is that if you are going non-deemed in your organization, if you're in those states that we talked about, you have a darn good chance of not having a survey on a timely basis, which is one of the reasons that probably people go non-deemed. On the other hand, you just never know when they're going to show up. Mm-hmm. So again, our recommendation for the most part is to try to go deemed status. I think it just helps keep your quality up. It also combines, you know, accreditation with, you know, Medicare certification. So you're going to only have one survey every 3 years as opposed to multiple surveys if you both are accredited and certified. And you could even have more if you're in a state that does regular licensing surveys such as Pennsylvania or Ohio. Okay, let's take a short break and come back, talk about upcoming events in the ASC industry.
So let's talk about some upcoming events in the ASC industry.
Every episode, we'll inform you of upcoming events. If you would like your event to be included in the podcast, please send the event information to info@ascpodcast.com.
Also, want to remind you that the ASC Podcast with John Gailey is available to support your ASC association. John is available to speak, and we can record a podcast from your meeting.
The New York Metro ASC and Healthcare Management Symposium is November 1st, 2019 at the Marriott Marquis in New York City.
The Pennsylvania ASC Association's meeting will be November 4th, 2019 at the Hershey Lodge in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
And I'll be heading down there with Alex. Mm-hmm. We have a booth there. I'm not speaking there this year. And we've reached out to the Pennsylvania Association, but they haven't responded as to whether they want us to do a special episode there. So I don't think we'll have a special episode, but at least we'll have a good conversation from there as to what we learned.
Mm-hmm. The New York State Association of ASC's Fall Conference in Tarrytown, New York is on November 6th and 7th, 2019.
And we have been spending this whole weekend trying to figure out all of the logistics for this, getting our people there and all. It's a very complicated for us.
All coming from different places,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not so, and it's the same week as the Pennsylvania Association, which causes part of our problem in getting the podcast equipment and then the booth equipment over there. So, but it's going to be an exciting conference down there in Tarrytown. I've been to the hotel just recently, and it's a very nice location. Tarrytown's a great place to visit, too. So definitely, I know that we have probably record attendance here for talking to the other members of our committee. So very exciting.
And the California Association's 12th Annual Seminar, Infection Prevention and Surveillance in the ASC, is November 7th and 8th in Costa Mesa, California.
So our dear friends over at CASA, of course, do this conference on an annual basis. Really important that you support this program. It's a good way to prove to the surveyors how seriously you take infection prevention. And of course, CASA does a great job in all of their educational programs. The Washington ASC Association's 2019 Annual Education Conference and Trade Show is November 14th and 15th, 2019 at the Tulalip Resort and Spa in Tulalip, Washington.
ASCA's 2020 Winter Seminar is in New Orleans, Louisiana, January 16th through the 18th.
We'll be there, of course, supporting the conference. I'll be doing quite a number of sessions, and we'll be recording probably from the seminar. We have most of our employees coming to that conference, so very excited. You're not coming with me this year, though.
Nope, Jenna and I are staying behind.
Yeah, because you're nurses, and you decided there was a lot of finance stuff in there.
Yeah, and we got to trade it out a little bit, and there were people that were really clamoring for New Orleans.
I know, so. New Orleans is an exciting city, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Yep.
The AORN Global Surgical Conference is in Anaheim, California, March 28th to April 1st. And Sue, I have been working with AORN. We're trying to see if we can do a recording from down there. So we're doing some negotiations right now, hoping that that will work out. I know you are interested in going to it because there's a lot of good speakers during that conference.
That's good. And the Iowa Association of ASC's 12th Annual Education Conference is April 17th and 18th, 2020 in Johnston, Iowa.
And I'll be speaking at that conference. And ASCA 2020 is in Orlando, Florida, May 13th through the 16th. We're very excited about this conference. We'll be talking a little bit about some of the things that are going on there in some upcoming podcasts. So definitely get your reservations in very quickly because I know that that hotel will be selling out very quickly. So well, that's it for this episode of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey. Join us again in, next week. And please spread the word about our podcast with your friends and colleagues and do us the honor of hitting that subscribe button.
This podcast is an educational and operational tool and is not intended to be a comprehensive resource for all the rules, regulations, and standards that an ambulatory surgery center must meet. The advice provided should not be considered as, nor does it constitute legal advice or opinion. When reviewing specific situations involving legal and regulatory issues, attorneys and other professionals should be consulted. This has been a production of Eden Group Development, all rights reserved. We would like to thank this week's sponsors. First, Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, one of the nation's leading regulatory compliance and financial oversight firms. For a free consultation, contact John Gailey today at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. And Eden Group Development, which publishes ASC Regulatory Compliance Series, the ASC industry's leading books, including the Survey Guide for ASCs, a guide to the CMS conditions for coverage and interpretive guidelines for ambulatory surgery centers, and Ambulatory Surgery Center Governance, a guide for ambulatory surgery center owners and governing body members. These must-have books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble or directly from the publisher at reg-books.com. That's reg-books.com. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please email us at comments@ascpodcast.com.